This is a podcast from Minute Media. I still believe through the cold and through the heat, through the rain and through the tears, through the crowds and through the cheers. Oh, I still believe. La, la, la.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, it is Thursday, May 5th, the year of our Lord, who should have been Rookie of the Year, Evan Mobley. It's the Dogs of War podcast. This is Kevin, along with my beloved co-host, the other half of the podcast,
Raleigh.
And actually, Raleigh, I lied. It's actually thirds of the podcast tonight, because I'm one third of a crew, including our guest co-star, co-host, Mr. Hayden Grove. Hayden, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being a part of this.
thank you for joining us.
So I went to the Dogs of War podcast again.
Yeah, if you're from Cleveland, if you follow the Browns or any of the sports teams, you know Hayden. He works for Cleveland.com. All his info will be in the description. Boys, how are we doing? You know, Raleigh, the last few episodes, we've just kind of hopped on and been like interviewing, but let's go. I want to take 30 seconds and just, how are we doing? What's up?
When you said the year of our Lord, you didn't actually say the year. That's been bothering me.
Did I say year of our Lord 2020? No, because it's the year of our Lord, Evan Mobley, not 2022.
Oh, okay. Well, sick. Thanks for clarifying the joke then.
So it's funny, Hayden, when he dialed into this call, he was walking down some hallway. It looked like he was in a high school. No, he is currently at Jacobs Field. I'm sorry. Progressive Field.
Supporting the Cleveland Native Guardians.
I like that. Native Guardians. Okay.
Hold on one second, guys. They're kicking me out of this room, I think. Can I get out even if you lock up? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, you are having a rare insight into what it's actually like to be in the Cleveland media.
Yeah. They kick us out of rooms a lot. So
did Dolan just try to kick you out?
Was that Dolan?
No.
Yeah.
No, it was not.
Right, so Hayden is now in some new room at the Jake. In all seriousness, thanks for joining us. Great to see you. How are we doing? Before we get into sports and everything else, you know, we've talked about on this show before, how you are a singer, a crooner outside of your 9-to-5. Well, actually, mm-hmm. It's like a 24/7 with Cleveland Sports. You used to post, or you still post, all of your shows. You sang a lot of shows at Crocker and all over the place. You posted something like a month or two ago. You have like 1,000, like a whole tour lined up this summer. Because I personally want to hear more about this, and I want you to plug it for the audience. What are you doing? You're singing all over the place this summer. Talk to us.
Yeah. So I have a ton of gigs this summer. I want to give a shout out to my, I have a manager named Rebecca Oswald who, has helped me out tremendously. She was
What's
a fan.
Up, Rebecca?
She was a fan and she, saw me on TikTok and she's like, I really believe in your talent. I just want to help you out. So I was like, if you want to take some stuff off my plate, I would love that. So she's really
she
like
violinist. Rebecca, I play violin.
Okay. There you go. Kevin, we'll get you on the schedule. So yeah. So this summer, I mean, let's count. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 coming up.
Wow. Yeah. So are you, is it all like Northeast Ohio?
Most are. Yeah. I'm doing a couple of weddings, one of which will be in South Florida for my buddy's wedding, but mostly they're around Northeast Ohio. Yeah.
You got to watch out for the taxes when you're a 1099 yeah. independent contractor. The IRS will come for you if you don't report. Yep. There's some things you can slide on. You can slide on the weddings, but
Raleigh works in the tax industry, if you guys didn't know that by now.
I followed my dreams, Kevin. And I will.
That was not a diss. The tax industry is a whole. Stop.
It's a magical, magical industry.
Stop it. That was not a diss.
Yeah. Watch out, Hayden. Keep track.
I will keep track. My uncle's a lawyer. He does a very good job. He helps me out. So we make sure we pay our taxes.
Hell no! Oh, I mean.
By the way, Hayden just winked at us, guys. Since you can't see this, so.
I did not wink.
Hey, no, but congrats to you, man. That's incredible.
I appreciate it.
Let's just start out real quick, high level. Hayden, we'll start with you. Initial thoughts, high level on the draft of the Browns this past weekend.
Should we go pick by pick? Sorry.
No, I don't want to go. I don't want to talk about all nine or seven or nine picks. Just overall, kind of the highlight thoughts.
Highlight thoughts. I thought that the Emerson pick was a little high. But then when you look at what, you know, they traded Troy Hill right away. So obviously that was a position they were looking to upgrade. They still kind of need a slot corner. Maybe that'll be a guy like, Greg Newsome. And then, I thought overall, I mean, I love the Cade York pick. I love the Perrion Winfrey pick. I'm just so surprised that they took nine players because I don't think there's going to be, I think five make the roster. I think 5 to 6 make the roster. So it's a little bit of wasted value in my opinion, but you know, again, seventh round picks, you never know. So, I thought it was okay. I thought that they drafted positions of need, you know, trying to get to the passer. That's important. They drafted defensive tackle. They drafted a kicker. You obviously needed a corner if you're going to trade Troy Hill. So I thought they've drafted positions of need and, I didn't mind at all what they did.
Yeah. It seemed like they were trying to set, how do I say this? They weren't picking necessarily the best player available, but the best player that fit their needs, at least early on. There were a couple that threw me off. I was, hopefully I'm proven wrong, would love to be proven wrong. What's his name? Michael Woods was round 6 as a receiver, which he was he the third Oklahoma player picked?
Yeah. Yep. They went with Winfrey. Then they went with the Isaiah Thomas, the edge rusher, and then they went with Michael Woods.
Yeah. Which Winfrey, if I were to say the pick I was most excited about, it'd probably be Winfrey. Like apparently he's a DT that can penetrate. I laugh every time I say he's a penetrator, but apparently he's a penetrator. You pair that next to Miles.
Hey, you're a father now.
Clean it up. Sorry. It's family friendly. Podcast fatherhood stuff, but Michael Woods, I'm like, do you think he makes the team?
I don't think he makes the team. I don't think Dawson Deaton, is that his name?
Seventh rounder center.
Yeah, the seventh rounder. I don't think he makes the team. I don't think Woods makes the team. I'd be surprised if Isaiah Thomas made the team. Who was the last fourth rounder? Because they had 3/3 and 3/4.
David Bell was
the last third
receiver. I like the Bell pick.
Hang on. We got round 4. Round 4.
No. They traded one of round 4, so they went round 5.
Cade York. They had 2 4th rounders. There was Perrion Winfrey.
Cade York.
The kicker Cade York. Which
Who was the 5th rounder?
Jerome Ford was the running back.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think he makes it either.
Really? Because all right. So let me, Raleigh, are you done with your answer?
As a practice squad guy, I could see it, but I don't see him. No, I don't see him making it. Unless they do something with Dearness Johnson, I mean, I don't know.
So my thoughts on that. So I'll get my thoughts real quick. The overall draft. I'm very intrigued. I'm happy with things like adding David Bell. As someone who doesn't, I watch Ohio State football. I watch every Ohio State game. If we're not playing another Big Ten team, I'm not watching that game. So I get it on paper, but I guess part of me is like, how did he win the Big Ten receiver of the year over the boys that the Buckeyes had? But at the same time, I'm like, yo, we drafted the dude that beat out Olave and the other boys for receiver of the year. So anyway, David Bell, I'm very into. Cade York, I'm fascinated by. Perrion Winfrey might already be a top 10 most beloved Browns player of all time. We'll get into that. But to your point there, Hayden, in terms of Jerome Ford, the running back out of Cincinnati, we drafted fifth round. AB and Stefanski so far have valued running backs that can catch the ball. Yep. You know, Jerome Ford, he can catch the ball. I think it was in high school I was reading where they had so many studs on the team, so many good running backs. And they just said, hey, we know you're running back, but go play receiver. And he was a stud receiver for them because of that. So I wonder, to put a bow on that ramble, do we keep him because he can catch the ball, whereas DeErnest is not known as being a catch and carry receiver?
Well, okay. I'm going to take back my statement a little bit. I think he could make the team, but I mean, you forget about Demetric Felton too, who they took last year. They said he's primarily going to be in the running back room this year. So that adds another layer to that.
Do we think he makes the final roster?
Felton. I think Felton and Ford are kind of the same. Like, I think they're just going to battle it out, and whichever guy makes it, then that's going to be that. So maybe Ford does make it, but I don't think Ford and Felton make it.
Okay.
I will say that I was surprised that, like, when you have these later round picks, tight end is a position where you will see tight ends come out of nowhere and just thrive. Like, if you look at all of the big name tight end, Travis Kelce, Gronk.
You know we're not talking about tight ends, though, right?
I know. I'm just
okay,
saying.
Okay,
I'm
just making sure. Okay.
Yes, I do know that these guys. Yes, thank you.
Thank God. Okay.
Waller, like, none of these guys were drafted in earlier than the third round. So tight ends, it's like you never know where they're going to develop, how they're going to develop, and some of them just turn out to be studs. And as much as they like using tight ends, the Browns, you'd think that they would have, after cutting Hooper, gone with one instead of Michael Woods, for example. No disrespect to the guy, but if tight ends are a crapshoot.
Okay, now I have to leave.
Oh,
but it's okay. I'm still good. Just the room.
Thank you. So I guess I was surprised that they didn't roll the dice on any tight ends later on. A lot of these guys won't make the team. I hope they're all Hall of Famers, obviously, but who knows? But I am pretty pumped about Bell.
I completely agree about the tight end thing. I think unless Kevin Stefanski is really going to take a knife to his offense and kind of change things, You need tight ends. They only have two on the roster that have played at all.
Where are you in Jacobs Field right now? You're walking through like a janitor's hallway.
So I'm behind the press box, and now I'm entering the
club a quiet area. Small little hall. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Who do you guys think? This is kind of a hard question I ask because it's been all over the radio and the articles. Who has the biggest impact their rookie year out of all these draft picks, do you think?
Raleigh, you go first.
I'm going to cop out and just give two answers. I think it's going to be either Bell or Winfrey.
Ooh.
Bell, you look at the footage. I mean, he produced I've always been kind of baffled. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but when you're talking about Olave and Garrett Wilson at Ohio State, well, they're two stud receivers, and there's a third stud receiver whose name I can never remember that's still playing for Ohio State. And he's the guy that had the most yards of all of them, and they're playing behind. They're playing for Ohio State, meaning defenses, they can't dial down on any one guy. Bell was essentially on his own, and he produced year after year for him. And when you look at the footage, that guy is a grind. Like, he could be a fantastic slot receiver for the Browns, and who knows? He could ball out.
Who's echoing? Well, you're echoing.
Turning down my – wait, what do I do?
All right, you're good. Sorry. Hayden, continue.
I think when you talk about the impact, you know, for the rookies this year, I think you got to look at Perrion Winfrey, the defensive tackle. They need help there. I mean, last year, they're pretty much their only guys right now are Taven Bryan, who they signed in the offseason, and then Tommy Togiai, who was a fifth-round pick last year, and then Jordan Elliott, who's a former third-round pick. So they Sheldon? Need help there.
No, Jordan Elliott.
I'm in Time Machine Sheldon Day. Sorry.
Yeah, no, Jordan Elliott. So between those guys, they need some help, and I think Winfrey can come in and play right away. I think Alex Wright is going to be interesting, given that we don't know what's going to happen with Jadeveon Clowney, but you assume Jadeveon Clowney is going to be back. I think he's just kind of waiting because he can wait. But I would say probably David Bell and Perrion Winfrey. I think those would be my two as well, probably the biggest impact.
The stats, let me look at this. Oh, never mind. He only had five and a half.
Let me get my answer real quick.
Yep.
I think by default, Cade York, because we just cut all our remaining kickers, he could, knock on wood, should have the biggest impact by default. But I'm not closing the door for, I mean, Perrion Winfrey, you know, he's, a lot of people talk about all these things, all the, you know, Whitey slip, character issues, all that, blah, blah. I was listening to Jake Trotter, who was on the beat at Oklahoma football for several years, right? Now he works for ESPN, Cleveland Browns coverage. He was like, I reported there for years. I have all, you know, a lot of friends there. I've never heard these character issue things. So I'm going to trust him over anyone else in terms of that and Oklahoma football players. So I think Perrion, you know, you hear all these guys get up there that, you know, they're trained and taught to say this, you know, I'm blessed. I'm happy. I've been working my ass off, blah, blah, blah. Perrion Winfrey, everyone that's listening to this podcast right now has heard the clips of that guy's press conferences. He was on ESPN Cleveland, shout out RBS today. The guy says these things and you literally feel every word he's saying. He's not just, you know, we say coach speak when like the coaches get up there and talk shit out at the podium. Perrion Winfrey means all these things. You can just tell. So obviously I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch. Let me get on the field or at least even training camp. But I'm most excited about Perrion. I think Cade has the biggest impact though.
Yeah, I think you're right about Cade. I think we forget about him just because he's a kicker. But I think, if he's your kicker, and I think he's going to be your starting kicker, then you would hope he has a big impact. He's got to be good.
Also, Alex Wright, am I thinking of the right? He was drafted in the third round, DE. He could be, hopefully, an impact player. But was he the guy that like hit a growth spurt in college?
I think so. He's like 6'7".
Yeah, so that's like he could be the sleeper. It's like, oh wow, he essentially just hit puberty. Now he's 6'7".
He's good enough to get
drafted. What happens when he like becomes who he is as an adult, and you know, is just one of the greatest edge rushers of all time? So don't rule him out.
I think he's one of the most. I've seen a couple, one or two tweets about him from a couple people that were like, this guy might be the most underrated pick the Browns made, and he might be a star. He's 6'7", 270. He's from Elba, Alabama, which I'm assuming is a small town, Alabama. A lot of people that have watched him play all through college are very high on him and are, you know, expecting big things from him. He could be a sleeper pick here. But yeah, I agree with what Hayden said. Of the nine guys we picked, I expect, you know, five, maybe six guys make it out of camp.
And kind of back to what Hayden said about the later draft pick, I feel like in the first five rounds, they solidified what they needed. And the last ones were just a little bit bizarre, I guess. I don't know. But I think
at that point, you just pick like the player you think fits best or an incredibly athletic guy or something like that.
Yeah. Segue into this next question. With Baker's, everyone thought Baker was going to be dealt during the draft. Mm-hmm. Do you think that impacts the likelihood of Clowney coming to Cleveland?
What, Baker?
Well, I was under the impression that they were waiting to get Baker off the books,
I think Clowney's already in the math. I think, I mean, Hayden, correct me if I'm wrong. I think from everything I've been hearing, you know, on RBS and everyone saying that the Clowney thing's just is done, but it's not done.
Yeah, it seems like Clowney's already on the book. So I wouldn't worry too much about the money there. I don't think Baker has much to do with that.
Well, then why the hell haven't they signed Clowney?
Because it's Jadeveon. He did the same thing last year. He waited till everybody was kind of done, and then he was like, oh, now I'll go. So I mean, I think it's just a money. I mean, I think he's kind of waiting to see if there's another team who can up the ante and who can give him more money. He said it before the offseason. He's like, I'm going to go where they pay me the most. So, like, why not wait, you know, till you get the best offer possible?
Which that makes sense, and I respect that move. But I'm also like, a lot of people in Cleveland are buying into, like, yeah, it's a done deal. He's coming. It's like, well.
I mean, I would say it's likely. I wouldn't say it's a done deal.
Yeah.
So.
Please sign Jadeveon Clowney, Mr. Barry, if you're listening.
And I don't want to go down the Baker wormhole here. We've already done this, but like I said in the last podcast, I think people need to relax. Everyone's like, oh, people are like shaking. He's still on the roster. Kevin Stefanski got interviewed on ESPN Radio, RBS yesterday. They asked him, do you think the Baker situation will be resolved? And Stefanski even blinked. He goes, oh, absolutely. So, hey guys, it might not be today, tomorrow. It might not be till June, July. Just relax. It's okay. People are like, oh, they wake up and they're like, Baker's still on the roster. Oh my God, what's going to Seattle, Carolina? Who knows what's going to happen? I don't think we're just going to drop them and eat $19 million without getting anything back. Hayden, we bring you on, though, not to put you on the spot, but because you actually have more intelligent background and thoughts on these things. But my thing the whole time has been like, as a Browns fan, just strictly as a Browns fan, everyone's got to move on. Like, just relax. It'll figure it out. Stop worrying about it. Stop talking about it. There's other things we can talk about. We know he's not coming to be our quarterback next year. Time to move on. Let's press forward.
I agree. I completely agree. But I think, you know, I think that yes, like, I think that's the way it should be. Just move on, everybody. But it's hard to do that when he's still on the roster. So I get that. I think the best thing for Baker and the best thing for the Browns would be to move on. Andrew Berry seems to have this illusion that he's going to get something for Baker. I don't think that's going to happen because they have no leverage, because they have a starting quarterback and you have a guy that's a good quarterback, but nobody wants to pay that contract. Anyway, the point being is that you're right. It doesn't matter. Baker will not be here. I wish him all the best. I really do. I still think he's a good player and he's going to start in this league and I still think he's going to be successful, but you're right. I wish him the best. I think that it's both for best for both him and the organization to move on. And I think everybody just needs to cut this. Like, they're kicking him out the door and kicking him down or kicking him on his way out the door. It's like, why? You know, the guy gave you 4 years, you know, of his heart and his soul for the city of Cleveland, for the franchise. I mean, you know, could it have been better? I guess. But I don't think anybody should have regrets, and I don't think you should be kicking him on his way out.
And that's why I would say, I said, if I'm – sorry, Riley, I'll let you go in a second. I'm saying for me cheering for the dude that was our quarterback, and I'm the one saying let's move on. You know, everyone, I said if me cheering for our quarterback makes me a bit – I said I'll be captain of the Baker Bros then. Like, whatever. Yeah. Riley, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's essentially it. It's disturbing how Hayden pretty much said it. The guy played his ass off. It didn't work out. People don't talk about what blows my mind is when people like attack him for being selfish, for playing hurt. It's like, are you guys out of your minds? He's a competitor. Like, if anything, that's on the coaching staff. And people are bitter that he tried to play through an injury. Like, well, how many snaps have you taken in the NFL, you idiots?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I totally agree that, like, he's a competitor and it's his job to, like, you're paying him to be out there and he's going to want to be out there. So, but all that stuff removed. It's like, what? Yes, okay, it was a bad year. They didn't play well. But there was other stuff that happened. The OBJ thing happened. Like, there was other injuries that happened. Kareem Hunt only played in 8 games. Like, it was just a snake bitten year. So just move on. There's nothing to continue to be like.
That's what I'm saying.
So upset it's about.
A perfect shitstorm. I mean, there's a lot of things, and people are just trying to move the goalposts and pick things, and not just with Baker, with everything. Like, there's just so many things, and again, it's people got to realize it's always the vocal minority that gets the most, the loudest speaker on Twitter for some reason, no matter what the topic or whatever it is. So yeah. Anyway, I just think just you need to relax.
And I think I agree that people need to relax, but it would be so much easier for people to relax if Baker was just doing his own thing and gone, and just, and the Browns just wouldn't hold on the way that they're holding on. But I understand Andrew Berry's job is not to appease the fans. It's not to appease the media. It's not to appease any of us. So if he thinks that he can get something, and or he wants to wait for a quarterback to get hurt, then I guess there's more power to him.
And I don't even think it's just waiting for a quarterback to get hurt. I just think, you know, you got to wait till the dust settles from the draft and this and that. And again, it's, everyone's like, oh, it's cause, you know, God, there's a lot of things that go into this, and I'm coming at this from a neutral standpoint. Guy's coming off an injury, coming off a surgery. He's owed $19 million. There's so many things, and I'm not, again, I'm down the middle here. It's just shitty timing. People know that the Browns got to get rid of him. The Browns know that other teams, you know, don't have really viable options, and being, you know, maybe two teams. Again, it's just a perfect shitstorm, and it just, everyone, social media right now is just people searching for validation for their own thoughts, people trying to gang up on one another, people saying this and that. It's a cesspool. It's a shithole. Sorry for the language, Mom and Mrs. Davis and Hayden's family. That's where I'm at, and I didn't even want to go down this wormhole. I know that 99%, that's actually high, probably 90% of the fan base is all on the same page with that. Again, it's, people think that Browns Twitter speaks for everyone at Cleveland, and that's just silly.
Yep. Yep. You're right. There's no sense in talking about it anymore. Just, I wish the best for everybody. Barry's going to try to move him. And if he can't, then he'll be either released or traded for very, very little. And he'll get a new start somewhere, which is what I think everybody needs.
Amen to that. And I hope he balls out. That being said, is that a good thing to end on?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. No, I just want to talk about, I guess, one more thing. We talked about the draft. We rambled for a long time, and I'll take blame for that, because,
that's okay.
Again, the world is open again. We had the first, you know, happy hour in years, and I'm, you know, your boy had a couple Dortmunders. So
I can't go out anymore.
Well, yeah, you're a new father. Yeah. So
shout out,
rest in peace. So I'm doing it for all of us. Well, girl,
I'll do it when I get home. I'm off tomorrow, so I'll get home. I'll get back and probably have a nightcap.
There we go.
Hell yeah. Hayden Grove parties. He reports, he sings, he parties.
Yeah. See, we went down the Baker hole. Pardon me. I'm not going down the Deshaun Watson hole tonight.
No, me neither.
And that is obviously no. They're Riley Strong's picture of his daughter in a Browns
uniform. Oh, nice.
All two Love months, that. 3 months of her.
Three.
Anyway, so real quick before we sign off, hey, we split. Indians went 1-1 saying the doubleheader.
Yep. Yes, they did.
The Guardians.
Yeah. Whatever, to not get canceled, sure, Guardians. Hayden, before we sign off, what is next with the Browns? Rookies are here next week. When does training camp start? I guess, as someone who's actually professionally in the know, other than just Raleigh and I, who sit from the cheap seats and just throw shit out on the podcast. So let me give you that. What's next? Is there anything, do you know any of the tea leaves behind when we can expect anything about Deshaun, not to go down the wormhole, just the decision? We'll end with those last two questions.
Okay. So, next up on the calendar is the rookie mini camp. Then there's other mini camps, other OTAs. You'll have training camp in July.
Like when will you be there taking pictures of Deshaun Watson throwing the football to receivers? Is that soon or no?
In June, I believe.
Okay.
Or maybe there might be one session one day in this month, but probably June.
Okay.
Or no, maybe you might be right. I don't know. I haven't looked that far
ahead. I am not right. And if it is, it's accidental.
Okay. Well, if you're right, I mean, I do know I try to like not look too far in advance, but I definitely looked at advance, and definitely the rookie minicamp is May 13th or 15th. But from there, I think there's like a day or two where we can, we'll be out there. Maybe it's later this month. I'm going to try to see if I can find it right now. Browns Media Center. Here we go. Let's see if we can find it. Because I know that the 13th or 15th is the...
While you're looking that up, are there any... Because we've had you on the last couple of years. 2 years ago when you came out for the first time, you were like one of five people who were allowed into training camp because of COVID. Last year was more open. This year, are there any restrictions at all?
It doesn't appear that way as of right now. The draft was pretty open. The combine was really open. So I think that like it's going to be pretty open just in general. So I would expect a pretty full training camp this year.
Let's go.
Yeah. I think
literally, Raleigh, let's go.
Yeah, I'd be down.
So your answer to that question, it'll be 1 or 2 days. You'll kind of just see it pop up. And then the other question with Deshaun is interesting. Roger Goodell said today that like they're still waiting to go through the civil cases. Apparently they're not going to decide on the civil cases till after the season. So I think it kind of lends itself to an opportunity where maybe Deshaun just plays this whole year. And then if they do want to suspend him, they can suspend him after this year.
I think,
are we really going to do this? I can't another year plus of this.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it. It looks like it.
And again, all right. We're not trying to minimize any of these allegations. All right. Do we have to talk about this every week for the next year plus? Is that really like,
that's why he needs to settle.
I mean, I very much hope not. I very, very, very much hope not, because you're right. It's just, we're not even talking about anything. We're just talking about like, you know, could they make a decision soon? Exactly. Exactly.
God, I will say, I think he's probably going to be playing with more pressure than any quarterback to perform.
See, I disagree on that.
I disagree with you, Kevin. I think you're 100% right.
So that means you agree with Raleigh.
When people talk about the contract and they're like, I can't believe it's all guaranteed. I'm like, well, pretty happy it's guaranteed. I want him to not be thinking about an additional stressor, and that's like, well, worst case, I'm paid. And I do think that he is a true football player, and that all we ask is for him to be focused on the game and have distractions be as minimum as possible. And one of those potential distractions, God, this goes back to social media and all this little civil war that's going on in Cleveland sports. If he falters, as quarterbacks do tend to falter, I don't care how good they are, people are going to come out of the woodworks.
Oh yeah.
The reason why I disagree with you guys is because I think that being accused 23 sexual assault cases, allegations, I don't know if you can't go lower than that. So
sexual misconduct.
You can't. It doesn't. Whatever. All right. And we've said on this podcast thousands of times, we're learning how to talk about this as we go along. I don't know if you can get lower than those. You can't, as a human being, or whatever. That's pretty low. So I feel like at that point, it's just. I don't even know. Again, we'll show a finger this out.
What I'm getting at.
That's lower than what a football criticism can get at you. You know what I mean?
I agree, but I'm gonna. There's going to be narratives pushed.
Of course.
It's like, wow, the guy that the Browns sold their soul for can't even blah, blah, blah. Like in a game where he underperforms, there's going to be noise coming with it. And they sold the farm, and I hope it pays off. It very well might, but people need to stop acting like it's a sure thing, because if it goes south, it's not going to go kind of south. It's going to go south hard.
The problem right now with Browns, everything, is that we are in a perpetual cycle on a lot of things right now between the Baker thing and between the Deshaun thing. We got both those going on at the same time. And I think that's probably more than we've ever had to put up with one of them in one off season, nonetheless, two at the same time. Right. Anyway, I'm, so I've been,
I've been trying to search for this day and this Browns media schedule. I cannot find it anywhere on my phone. It's crazy, but I'll get it to you. I will. I don't know. I'll be out there. Don't worry.
On a positive note, every time we go into a season with high hopes,
let's end on like a positive.
Whenever we go into a season feeling like we are invincible and we can't be beat, shit hits the fan. Going into this with cautious pessimism. Who knows, dude?
I swear to God, I'll get roasted for this. If someone gave me their prediction right now,
Don't say a good prediction, Kevin.
No, I was gonna say, if someone said we're lucky to win 5-6 games next year, I wouldn't hate that person because we have no idea who's the quarterback is for. I mean, who knows? Anyway, I do want to say though, when the dust settles, I know a lot of folks around the division are kind of running their mouth a little bit right now. Look. In terms of football, between the lines only, it's only what I'm talking about right here. Y'all about to be in for a little bit of a wake-up call in the AFC North when you see what number four can do out there on the field. That's how I'm going to end my portion of this podcast, gentlemen. Any final thoughts?
No, I appreciate you guys having me. And like I said, I don't know what day I'll be out there, but I'll be out there. We will figure it out. I have the email there. It's in there somewhere, and I will check it out.
Hell yeah, Hayden Grove.
That's it, really?
Godspeed. I don't know.
No, I'll just say, I mean, when the dust settles, because we have to say this or people try to I'm not trying to minimize any of the shit going on off the field. I'm saying when it comes to football, we got Deshaun thrown to Amari Cooper. We got Chubb. We got Hunt out there. Football-wise, there are some very, very good things to come.
Here's how I'll end. They still need a number two receiver. I still believe that. I don't know if that's going to be Jarvis Landry. They still need number two. They still need to sign Clowney, and they still need another defensive lineman. That's where I will end.
Preach.
That's a bummer. But, hey, going into the season with a bummer feeling – good things happen.
Yeah.
Shout out COVID season. Hopefully Peoples Jones balls out. Hopefully Bell balls out. Hopefully everybody on the Browns balls out and we just win back-to-back Super Bowls. That being said, thanks for joining us on the Dogs of War podcast as we don't know where to feel emotionally.
These have been of the four going into our fourth season, no big deal, of this podcast, these last few have been the most rudderless because it's kind of don't really know where to go or how to do it. So we're doing this. We go along like everyone else. Appreciate you listening. Mr. Hayden Grove of cleveland.com. Everyone knows who Hayden is, but we'll have all his contact info in the description, of course. Again, thank you, sir, for joining us. You're literally sitting in Jacobs Field right now to go do your post Indians work, post Guardians work at Progressive Field. So we appreciate your time. For Raleigh, for Hayden, for myself, this is Dogs of War podcast. Thank you for listening. Good night, Cleveland.
It was 1950 in the cold and rain when my father took me to my very first game. Said the Browns are gonna show you how the game is played. Here we go again.